Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
We are doing a little bit of a sermon series called This Is What We Do. This is what we do, and we're trying to look at Scripture to point to us or illuminate again to us why we do these things we do every week, which is very important for us to understand, because if there's anything we do that we should not be doing because it's not in the Word, it's a serious thing for us to reassess where we are going. Isn't that true? Firstly, listen, I am married. Yesterday, before I jogged onto a rugby field, I took off my ring and threw it in a talk bag. Now, a talk bag can be like a black hole. I did already look for it. I will look for it again. But I wanted to borrow Murray's wedding ring, but it's only been on 2 weeks. So it's not taken. I am on ring number 4. That's why my rings only cost 100 rand and come in packs of 4. So one silver, dark silver, black, and you get them somewhere. So last week, just a quick recap, we answered the question, why church, why do we come together on Sundays, and why don't we all just download a YouTube clip, something like the Mozambique clip, and why don't we just watch it at home, and then we all of us can plan our weekends, we can go away, we don't have to come back, if we bribe, we don't have to come, why do we come here? And if you want more on that, just get the sermon off the net, you can. But a lot of it will also be touched on tonight, because tonight we're moving to small groups, which is also a coming together of people. But the reason we do this, just to set a little bit of a platform of where this falls into church, is if I ask you, what is the most important part of a home? Is it the foundations or the decorations inside? Now, before you answer, yes, the foundations is very important so that the house don't fall, but both is important, right? We all want to live in a place that feels like home. Isn't that true? And so sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in ways where we experience God more through worship, like we just did, which was really amazing. Can we just give the worship band 2 claps? Yeah, you realize that. And sometimes God really comes and allows us to experience Him in a way. And there's other times when He needs us to be focused, and then the Holy Spirit comes and He teaches us to understand God a bit better. And the one is not more important than the other. You need both, because the one informs the other. The more you understand God, the more you learn about Him, the more it informs your worship. And tonight, and what we're doing these few weeks, it's a little bit more the foundation. Why do we do things? Is to seek the understanding so that when we go and do these things, we can do them full of faith again. Are you with me? So that's why we're answering this question. So I'm giving you also a little bit of a doctrinal background to understand why we do things and to answer these questions. Last week, we focused on church. We got, that slide. We've got something, and you're going to be seeing it more and more. We say the only stuff we do here is CSSS. That's all we do. And we try and build around that more and more. And so you'll probably see it more and more as you come to encounters. You'll hear of it. And that's the journey through this congregation. It's church. When you come here, someone brings you here. You worship. You realize, oh, hierdie man wat die afkondigings doen is belaglik, but he's kind of funny. And then, oh, it was nice to sing. And then it's only an experience. It's only a once off. But then we want you to move in your faith, to start the journey, and we want you to move to the first S, which is a small group. Okay, so we've met in the big group and it was great, but now come and make real friends. And then we want to move you to self. Now we want you to grow yourself. Now, a lot of churches, which is on autopilot, I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying it's very easy for churches to only focus on number one. So people only see one another on Sundays, or maybe two, and then number 3 and 4 don't exist. But here's the thing, If you ever move out of town, if you ever move to a new place, you must join a congregation where the church is committed to grow yourself as well, your inner self, your spirit man. You must know the word. You must study it. You must write down scriptures. You must pray. You yourself must generate or cultivate the relationship of Jesus. It's very important. Or one day you'll wake up and you'll walk away from the faith because it was only an event. So it's very important for us. We're going to get to self next week. And then the last one is serve. What is serving? It's when you start to give. It can be packing out those cups, being on the setup team, being in the band, going on missions, because we believe every one of you is called by God to bear fruit. And it might look different, but there's something in you, there's seeds in you. And when they get the water, what's that? Worship, the word, good community. These seeds turn into fruit and they come out. And they look different, but they all taste nice. Amen? So we're going to talk through all of those. And so tonight, or just a quick look back at last week. Every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is Jesus. So the temple, this is in the early church, would be like what we're doing tonight, the gathering of a lot of people. And how many people would speak? One or two or three, but they will address a lot of people. Then they would go to the homes and you'd have a more personal conversation about Jesus. Both is important. Tonight, we're moving from the temple, which was last week, to the homes, which is this week. This is what we do, part two. Why small group? Why small group? Why do we do small group? And so if we go to the next slide, the big one for tonight is small group, and I'm going to try not to be long because there is amazing snacks at the back, and we had a lot of awesome stuff to say beforehand, so I am a bit late. Let me just start by saying a small group is not an end in itself. Small group is not like the second coming of Christ. Okay, small group, if a church does not have small groups, it is not sin. All right? Let me tell you what small group is. What we do know from Scripture, and I don't have Scriptures and all those things, I can give it to you if you want to, is the fellowship with believers is a command from God. Do not neglect the getting together of our brothers, okay? Growing together with believers, we're going to see it tonight. You are the body, you are the body. You are a house, you are a home, you are the bricks, okay? It's command. Loving other people, these are commands. 1 John 3, that's what we did last week. Sharing and receiving with others, these are commands, okay? If one person has a gift of mercy, someone must receive it. If one person has a gift of teaching, someone must speak, someone must listen. These are commands. Are you with me? Caring on a personal level, it's what Scripture says. This is undefiled religion, caring for widows and orphans. Now, these are commands. Small group helps us to be faithful to the command of fellowship. Almost all those things, almost everything that the Bible has to say about your relationship with other believers can happen on this platform of small group. And that's why small group is important to us. Now, if a church does not have small group, but they've got some other way to get to these commands, then that would also be okay. Let's say, for example, we did not have small groups, but we decided, everyone here, we had a great big vote, 100%, all of us will commit to give the whole of Sunday from the morning 6 o'clock to the evening 6 every week. Then we could have church and we could hang around in smaller groups, then we won't need small group on a Wednesday. Because it's not small group we're fighting for, it's obeying God. Are you with me? And so what we do is we create these two opportunities where we can do different things. Right, let's go to the word. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews, Greeks, slave, or free. And we were all made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, that's if a foot can speak, all right? Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it less part of a body. That will only make it a lame foot. Still attached. You're just not helping. Are you with me? That's what that scripture is saying. Just because you say I'm not a part does not change the reality. Just because you say there's not a train coming does not make the train disappear. This is how it is, people. All right? When you connect with Christ, you are connected. You are healthily connected or you are unhealthily connected. That's what scripture says. Everyone with me? All right. Now I'm just going to focus on this verse 13 here. Before, I'm going to give you 3 points tonight for the engineers that like it. 1, 2, 3, it's coming. Okay? For in one spirit we were all baptized. Now, let me just explain something about this word baptized. Sometimes we use these big words and then the youth come to me afterwards and ask me what it means. To be baptized is, in Afrikaans, often we'll use the word doop, okay? But now in Romans 6, it speaks about us being baptized into Christ. Now, often that word can mean the same as being born into Christ. It carries the same weight. So when we baptize someone in water, when someone doop, gaan hulle mos onder, né? They go under the water. Now in Romans 6, it says, when you came to Christ, you died. Your old life was buried and your new life started. Are you with me? When did that happen? The moment you got baptized in the water? No. The day, the moment you said, Jesus, I give my life to you. At that moment, your old man dies, a new man comes up as you are forgiven. Then you go to the pool and you do what? You show what had already happened. I died, so put me under. I want to show my friends what we're doing with water happened in my heart. Everyone with me? Now, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free. The moment you gave your heart to Jesus, you entered into a new family. You were married, born, I don't care how you express it, but you now have big family. Greeks, I'd love some Greeks for family. They make great food. They're very loud. I'll fit in with them. Jews, slaves, all free, doesn't matter. But here's the thing. The moment you come to Christ, you're attached to people. And there's nothing you can do about it. If the foot says, I'm not a part, it does not make him a part. Are you with me? I'm just going on the same slide, just a few verses on. It says, now you are the body of Christ. You guys are the body of Christ. And individually, you are members of it. Okay. Why is this so important? And why is the Bible so strong on us being together? That's a question we should ask. Why does God want us to come together the whole time? I'm together with other people when I go to Loftus. I mean, why must we come together as family? Now, there might be a lot of explanation on this, on that, but here's one. Our God is one, but our God is also three. Three in one. From the beginning of the age, we see the Trinity, God the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit being together. In the beginning, in Genesis, first chapter, what does scripture say? God speaks and says, let us. And then it goes to the creation. Let us. From the beginning, there was a us. And then he says, let us make man in our image. They will be just like us. The one serving the other, the one loving the other. Obviously, sin, a fall of man came, and God had to do something to be back with us. So God the Father sends his Son to be the hero. The Son comes in a normal body. So what needed to happen so that he can minister to us and do amazing things? When he got baptized, what happened? Who came? Who came to his rescue? Spirit, I've got your back. I'm coming down. It says the dove comes, sits on him, and remains on him. And so Jesus was here, sent from heaven. The Spirit comes and fills him and stays on him. He speaks to the people. They say, oh, you're so amazing. You're great. He says, no. I only do what I see the Father do. You say great things. You must be a teacher. You are so amazing. No. I only say what I hear the Father say. Can you see God? Can you see how He operates? Now we come to Christ and He will not allow us to be anything different than what He is in His image. We will have to do this together. There's no other way. And now you have to deal with someone like me and you've got nowhere to go. I praise God. So at least I've got friends, you know, because of His will and because of Bible. Christians must love me. The church is a great place. But on a serious note, if not for the church, I don't know where I would be today. I was a mess when I came to the church, and I'm still a mess. Maybe I'm just better at hiding it. But since the day I walked into, and there's a lot of great churches, and for me, my blood is not orange, okay? I work for this church, Shofar Christian Church, but I give my life to Jesus. But I can say this, since the first day I walked through the doors of this church which God is using, I was never rejected by God's people. And I made many mistakes on my journey. And so I can say the church is a great place. I'm glad for this. Aren't you glad that Jesus says, we're going to do it together? Wow, He's amazing. He's really amazing. I just want to give you another scripture. Colossians 1 verse 17. If I can give you more than one scripture, then you can reference nicely at home. And He is before all things, speaking about Jesus, and in Him all things hold together. He holds all things together. Trying and getting married without Jesus. And trying keeping that marriage together. Good luck. Because He holds what together? All things. All things. God is so smart. And He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He may be preeminent. He's the head of the body. Now the implication for us, and the cool thing here, is that Christ once again is centrally involved to us here. We are the body. Can you see that from Scripture? But I am not the head of this church. The leadership is not the head of the church. All right? Christ is the head of the church. So once again, He does not stand from afar. He comes in and He says, I will be connected with you. And what that does is it takes away the argument of Vian coming to me and saying, I don't fit in here anymore. Christians cannot say that. You see, because you don't get your instructions. If you're a foot, let's say you're a foot, okay? I know it's a month. Let's say I'm an elbow, okay? You do not get your instructions for healthy walking from me because I don't have a central nervous system in my elbow. Okay, it's in the brain and in the spine, but Christ is ahead. Let's focus there. The central nervous system of your body is the one that causes you to move. So if you don't move well here, it's got nothing to do with Rian. He's only a finger. It's because there's a lot of other body parts that we'll stay away from tonight. Get me out of trouble. The reason you are not moving well is because you are not connected to who? The head causes the hand to move. You need me, I need you. Because if the hand put food in the mouth, the thigh can grow and the liver can be healthy. But He's the head, directs everything. There's no other way. Number one, when you accept Jesus, you get baptized or born into his body, a family of believers. And our way, this congregation's way, to make sure we don't come here on Sundays and then just hold our breath up and pitch the next week and tick it off, but really become that body. Our way of doing that is to have small groups where you can relate with someone face to face in a smaller setting. Tonight is important. Someone needs to break the word open, and God has given me that task. Sometimes I love it. Sometimes it's hard because there's a lot of smart people here in this congregation, and I've got the job to always be at a place where I can break open the word. All right? That's my job. But tonight you can learn and you can write and you can grow in the sense of knowledge, but where you grow more in character is in small groups. Amen. That's why we do that. Let's go on. Ephesians 4:15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the what? There's the head again. We are to grow up into the head, not I, we, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Again, Christ is the head. Can you see that? Now remember last week we spoke about Cain. In 1 John 3, you've got two examples of love. The one is more example of hate, but it's a lack of love, okay? Do not be like Cain, who killed his brother. So his love or lack of love killed his brother, separated himself from his brother. Okay, a lack of love or a broken love separates you. Are you with me? Be like Christ, who laid down his life for sinners. So even ugly sinners like me, he comes and he does not create distance, he brings me near. And then John says, so be like Christ. Here in this body, it says, speak the truth in love. Now, and I mentioned it last week, if I speak the truth to Rian, let's say Rian, he develops this habit of doing something, it's really breaking down his testimony. Now someone needs, let's make it very practical. Let's say Rian has lost his way around personal hygiene, okay? He's a very clean man. I'm just using it as an example. But translate it spiritually. Because spiritually it's the same thing. Now, every time I hug my friends, I hug him, I'm like, you know, I've got my nose in a different direction. I hope I get some Sussel weather coming across. Because, you know, this is not a pleasant, but now someone needs to say to him, luister broer, jy stink. Or maybe if it's a girl that thinks through it, maybe they can take a hamper, you know, with a roll-on soap, stuff like that. But now, someone needs to speak the truth. Now, when scripture says this, it's not saying the truth like, yes, you're more, yes, you're awesome. It's talking about us refining one another. Eister wat eister slap, us growing together with one another, and only with the truth can we grow up into the head. But now what we are trained with today is if you go to a platform, to a small group, and someone says, brings truth into your life, you say, I'm out. He didn't mean to judge me. You don't understand the body. Even though truth may be brutal, it gives life. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow itself up in love. Love always speaks the truth, which is hard to hear, but with, who can help me? Truth and he came, Christ came in the flesh, truth and grace. So with the truth, I can say, yeah, you stink, you're foul, haunt. That's not God. I can say, you know I care for you. I need to tell you something very hard. It's hard for me, but no one else will tell you. You're in my small group, so I can hear your foot in your hand. Buddy, personal hygiene. Can you see the diff? Can you see the grace? It does not make the truth less truth. But that's how the body grows. Before we go to point number two, just another scripture to help you. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Whose job is it to make sure that you are functioning in your purpose, the person sitting next to you? All right? Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. One another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now listen up. Tonight, am I encouraging you a bit? I hope you say yes. Just act together. Say yes. Are you right now encouraging the person next to you? Maybe in some deep sense by being here, but you're not talking to them because I'm the one breaking open the word tonight. So when the scripture says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, surely it's speaking about a place where you share someone here. They say, oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad you shared that scripture. Maybe you were afraid to share it, but you know what? It really is changing my life. Can you see where you encourage one another? Now, we can do that on a Monday night or on a Friday morning, but where we do that is small group. It's the place we've set apart for that. But I'm getting so busy, man. You don't know what life is like. Let me tell you what, all the more as you see the day drawing near, the more important it is for you to draw a line around what is important. If you think it's crazy now, with technology and everything, the speed stuff is going, I don't know if a lot of us are going to be working two jobs, but let me tell you what, as the day is drawing near when he comes back, it cannot get further away. Are you with me? It's only coming closer. All the more, we need to be the body. Are you with me? In this sense, when life gets fast, that's when Christians, we're slow as fast. Where God's just going to deposit stuff in your heart, in your spirit. You're just going to get to places and he's just going to have his favor on you because you trust him. Don't get on the rat race, the treadmill. You're just going to get off that thing, you're going to go nowhere. Let us not neglect this, guys. Amen? I want to just read you a quote quickly. One of my good friends is a pastor in Shofar. I put on Facebook. Unity is easy if you don't care about holiness. Holiness is quite easy if you don't care about community. It's doing the two of them together that's the real trick. Let's face it, unity is easy to achieve if you always compromise. Holiness is easy to achieve if you avoid those who disagree with you. But building a holy community that fosters unity is our actual calling. Number two, when you follow Jesus, small group is a place where you grow with his body. Firstly, you're born into it, you connect it. The foot cannot say, I'm not here, sorry, you are. Number two, not only are you born and connected to it, it's also the place where he now wants you to grow. That's where we do that, this congregation. Everyone with me? Last point, then I'm going to wrap up. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her. Groot woord, mense, beteken het, dat hy haar kan skoon maak, heilig maak, hy wil haar mooi maak. Having cleansed her by the washing of the word. So that he might present, now this is Christ in the church, check it out. That Jesus might present the church to himself in splendor. Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. I'm in the same chapter, I'm just jumping four verses just to help us. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. They will be intimate. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Now, 2 weeks ago, Murray married Carla. Yes, it was amazing. And scripture says the only reason you get to marry one another is for the purpose of showing this world that there's a marriage coming between Christ and the church. This mystery is profound. That's why Carla left her family and Murray his. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. You can say church equals Christ body, equals Christ building, if you want to. Get that in scripture as well. Check this out. Last verse for the day. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. We're now in the future. John is looking and seeing this happening in Revelation. And his bride has made herself ready. Why do you have to be a part of the body? I'll tell you why. When he comes, he will marry you as his bride, the body. And he's not going to marry a foot on its own. He's not going to marry a hand, I'll tell you that. He's marrying a bride. She's got a body, and it's perfect, and it's working. And you're a part of it. But he's cleaning this bride, he's sanctifying, he's taking her through the process of getting ready for this amazing marriage supper of the Lamb. And everyone, the whole world is going to be there for that moment. All of hell will see. Every eye will see. And then she's going to come. Wow. And there you are, a part of that bride. I thought I was only a finger, but now he's marrying me, yes. And so the place where we choose to develop and sanctify and beautify the bride of Christ the best we can is, guess where? Small group. Where normal people experience an amazing God. The pastor is not there who knows all the answers. No, the small group leader, he doesn't know it. That's okay. That's the point. The point is not that the foot is perfect. I come off a rock. The point is that he's connected to the head. The point is not that your small group always has it right. The point is that you are there. That's the point. The point is not whether she's already standing perfectly before the groom. The point is she on the way of becoming more pretty? Listen, if you're going to get married today and you don't have shoes, you've done nothing, then you know what? It's going to suck. Because you prepare for that day. I want to challenge any guy. Where's Arm? I want to challenge you when you get married, okay? To rock up with your pluckies. And Lorica comes perfectly dressed. And then you stand there. I'm telling you, she's not going to be happy with that. But I'll answer the dog, dude. The point is not that we look the part already, but that we're stuck in while it is happening. Isn't that amazing that you don't have to be perfect? I try and put this jacket on to look nice and perfect, but you guys know me too well. I might as well take it off. You know what I'm saying? We know one another. All the facets of love, life, and the community of the believers is addressed in the combination of the worship service on a Sunday and the small group gathering on Wednesday. Between the two, we can pretty much cover the gospel in its full range if we are obedient to it. Amen? And what about you? I want to invite you to stand tonight as we close. I want to ask you, what about you? I want you to read this with me again. But I want you to think about it very personally. Not about people, the masses, about you. I mean, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ in the church. Can I read verse 31 with verse 32? Therefore, a man or a woman shall leave their old life, to never look back, to be joined to Christ and this new life. And this person, male or female, will become one with Christ. What about you? But you cannot have Christ without having the other sinners just like you. Amen. And a lot of people today say, nah, I worship him at home. Christ is not pleased with that. I'll say that to any person to their face, and I say that. Just because you say you're not a foot, that does not mean you're not. You are. Start walking. Become strong. Let those ligaments work. Take ownership. Let's just close our eyes tonight. Oh Lord, that one day I will be there when you get married with us. The down payment is already here. Already the Spirit is in our hearts. The ring is on. We know it's coming. Oh, nothing sweeter. The crowds, the angels, everyone roaring as you bring us near. No more heartbreak. It's gone. No more pain in the body. No more cancer. No more amputated legs and arms. It's all gone. When you come to marry us. Oh Lord, how great you are. Teach us to love one another, to be connected. While you keep your eyes closed, we love to give opportunity if we can. I want to ask you tonight, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord, that's the only question I have tonight. Do you want to take him on a savior and become a part of his body, never to be disconnected again, and to one day also meet him? It is the greatest invitation I've ever had in my life. And I want to give people invitation while the believers are praying. And so if that is you tonight, then I want to ask you to be very courageous, and I'm going to count to three. And if you say, I want to accept him tonight, this ends tonight, this ends tonight, this road I'm walking on, I've had enough, I've been around this circle so many times, I know the way, and still I go in laps, it ends tonight. Because I'm becoming part of a body that is getting healthier as the day is coming near. I want to be a part of Christ and partake in his body. If that is you, then when I say three, I want you to put your hand up as high as you can. One, two, and three. There's a lot of hands going up. Thank you for that. Put your hand very high. Put your hand up very high. Can I ask facilitators to go to the sides for me, please, all the aisle? What's going to happen is someone is going to meet you where you are. I'm not going to call you to the front, but I just ask you to keep your hand up. Someone's going to meet you right there where you are. Awesome. Great. We're going to pray a prayer together, and we all are going to do this. We're going to give our hearts back to Jesus. We're going to pray with these brave people that just put up their hand. Let's give them a clap, guys. Let's pray together and put our faith with them. Are you ready? Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I stand before you. I am broken, but you heal. I have sin, which you paid for. Here's my life, my sin, my past, my future. I put it all on you. I have no plan B. I give my life to you. I want to know you. I want to become like you. I want to know your people. I want to walk with them. I want to grow with them. But Jesus, I come to you first. I believe that you died, paid for sins, and then rose on the third day to never die again. And one day, maybe this body will die. Maybe this body will perish. And you'll give me a new one. And I will never die again. I will never feel this aches again. I will never feel brokenness again. I will know love. Here I am in your service. I commit to read your word, to write it on my heart, to pray, to grow, and to obey you. Here I am, a member of the body that will marry you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to ask you one thing before we go. I want to ask you to think of one person that does not know Jesus. And I want you to have a seat and pray for that person. You may do that with someone if you came with someone else. I want everyone to pray for one person. And the guys that came out, you guys can carry on and you can minister to those people. But let's take 1 minute before we close this meeting. You're welcome to pray with someone.